Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Today on The Brian Lehrer Show, Wynton plays Woodlawn. Wynton Marsalis will join us to talk about his concert and history lesson tonight on a very unusual stage, Woodlawn Cemetery in the Bronx. Also today, the Tea Party bumps off the majority leader. What happened to Eric Cantor of Virginia and why the emerging theories might all be wrong. Plus, what's wrong with Starkitects, a critique of bringing big-name architects into cities they don't know to design big public buildings, and a World Cup call-in today for immigrants on the soccer style of your country of origin and what that style says about the national culture. But first, a California judge throws out teacher tenure on civil rights grounds as the moral equivalent of segregation. The case was bankrolled by a white Silicon Valley millionaire, David Welch. The white judge, Ralph Trayu, was appointed by a white Republican governor, but the Obama administration quickly embraced the ruling. New York and Connecticut tenure laws might be next. The judge's rationale, that the worst teachers wind up in the least desirable schools, mostly with low-income black and Latino kids, and because of tenure, those worst teachers can't be fired. That, he says, is a civil rights violation. He compared his own ruling to Brown versus Board of Education. The funder, the bankroller of this, David Welch, said he believes in public education.
But I also believe our public education system is failing those children and has stopped putting the children's needs as a priority in the management of our education system. This case was designed to bring forth the facts and to ask the question, are these laws meant to support the education of our children? And today we have the answer to that, and it's clear they do not. I'm thankful that the court elected to hear this case, and I'm ecstatic for the decision they've come down with to represent that children's rights and access to an education deserves their attention and deserves our priority.
David Welch, with millions of his own dollars spent in a winning, at least so far, cause. Now, I want to give first priority on the phones for this to black and Latino parents currently raising children. Black and Latino parents currently raising children. Do you see teacher tenure as a violation of your children's civil rights? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Should the tenure system be seen as the equivalent of segregation before Brown versus Board of Education at the U.S. Supreme Court back in the 50s? That's what the judge said. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Again, first dibs on reaction to black and Latino parents currently raising kids. Does the tenure system violate your child's civil rights? The local tenure laws may be next in David Welch's lawsuit cites. 212-433-9692. And with us for her reaction is a critic of the decision, former assistant U.S. Education Secretary, now research professor of education at New York University, author of books including Reign of Error, The Hoax of the Privatization Movement, and The Danger to America's Public Schools. And she blogs very actively. That is Diane Ravitch. Dr. Ravitch, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you so much for having me, Brian.
Obviously, the unions don't like this ruling. What do you think of it?
Well, I think that it's a very bad ruling. I read the ruling, and I think that there's no evidence for it. I mean, you would want, first of all, to say that the teachers who taught these children were tenured, and the ones that were named in the decision, or not in the decision, but in the discussion in court, didn't even have tenure, didn't have seniority either. So there was no evidence to say these bad teachers hurt these children. There's also an assumption behind the ruling that if these particular schools were filled with all great teachers, there would be no differences in test scores. It's like No Child Left Behind. We would have complete proficiency. But we know from reams of evidence the reason these kids are not getting high test scores is because they live in poverty and because they have overcrowded schools, overcrowded classes, and they lack the resources that other schools have. The decision will not help any of these children In fact, it may make it more difficult to hire teachers because they will not have the same protections. When we talk about tenure, it's very important to make clear what we mean by tenure. It's not like higher education. In higher education, if a professor has tenure, that's a job for life. In K through 12 education, what tenure means is they can't fire you without due process. You have a right to a hearing. Now, if the district is slow to give you a hearing, that's the district's fault. But what you're entitled to is a hearing with an independent arbitrator who hears the evidence and says, wait a minute, you can't fire this teacher just because you don't like her, or you don't like the color of her skin, or you don't like her religion. Those are not good reasons. Provide evidence. That's what tenure means. It means due process. So what the judge is ruling is that teachers can be fired without due process. They will have less job security, and teachers will flee schools like the schools attended by Beatrice Vergara, who is the lead plaintiff here.
The child who's technically the lead
right.
plaintiff. But are you saying that the quality of teaching hardly matters in high poverty populations, that the other pressures of poverty are so great that it doesn't matter if you have some of the best teachers in the system in your school or some of the worst?
No, I'm not saying that. I think the teachers matter a great deal. But when you look at the overwhelming majority of evidence, most recently the American Statistical Association had a report about this, and they said that teachers affect the differences in test scores by about 1 to 15%. The remainder of the differences are accounted for by system differences, like the leadership of the school, the leadership of the system, the resources available to the school, and also the poverty of the family. All of these factors matter more than the individual teacher. But that doesn't mean the individual teacher is powerless. Of course, we want to have the best possible teachers. But the way to get the best possible teachers is to create an environment where they feel respected, where they have reasonable job security, where they can't be fired on a whim, and where they have support to get better and better at their job.
How about the whole system, though, that allows schools, I think we have this in New York City, I don't really know what they have in California, but that allows schools to basically choose their teachers from pools of applicants. So under a system like that, the best teachers would wind up disproportionately at the most desirable schools, which would leave the worst teachers disproportionately in the least desirable jobs, which, you know, the marketplace would generally sort out as the high-poverty schools. Is that
a
problem?
I think that's a problem throughout the country, that the best teachers will sort themselves into what they consider the easiest to teach districts. If they have a chance to teach in Scarsdale or one of the really low-poverty districts, they will grab it. The salaries are high, the working conditions are good, the class sizes are small. Of course, the best teachers are going to gravitate there. But I think that in order to have the high-poverty schools have the best teachers, you have to be concerned about making sure that there are small classes so that the best teachers have a chance to do their best work, make sure that they're resourced appropriately, make sure that there's not so much focus on testing, that they can't actually engage with the kids, with their problems, with their needs. And it has to be a well-resourced school. We have not paid attention to this in this country. And there has been, over the past few years, starting with the movie Waiting for Superman, this teacher-bashing mood that if we can just beat up enough on the teachers, we'll end up with only great teachers. And I don't think there's any evidence for that.
Let's hear from some of our callers on this ruling from a judge in California that teacher tenure is a civil rights violation because it winds up allowing the worst teachers who tend to be in the low-income school districts or schools the protection from not being fired. David in Englewood, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling in.
Yes, great topic. Your program is always excellent.
Thank you.
I think that the doctor should be really ashamed of herself. The liberals have been supporting the teachers' unions at the expense of the school kids for decades now. You have districts like Newark and even New York City where there has been very little improvement over decades. And why? I served for 12 years on the Englewood Board of Ed. And one of the problems is, sure, the home environment is very, very important. But who you put in front of that teacher is even more important. And a good teacher, first of all, good teachers, they'll tell you in a minute, they don't even like tenure. Because it's like a salesman. If you're the best salesman, you should be paid more. But what this tenure does is make every teacher equal. And I've had kids that have gone through the system. One is just graduating next week from high school. So this is recent experience. Mm-hmm. And what this is going to do is it's going to make people accountable. I noticed that all the top politicians, why do they not send their kids to public school like in New York City or in Newark or Chicago, where I'm originally from? This is going to be a monumental, if upheld, a monumental decision because we will make sure the teachers are accountable. In the private sector, you're not fired because of nothing. If you do, you have a lawsuit. But teachers have treated this as a property right, and the best teachers, they don't need this.
Diane Ravitch, you want to – David, let me get your response. Diane Ravitch, you want to talk to David?
Well, I think that, David, teachers don't agree with you. I have never met a teacher who said, I don't want to have due process, because there's a long history. The reason the teachers' unions were created 100 years ago was because teachers wanted protection from arbitrary decisions. Teachers were fired because of their religion. They were fired because of they got married. In New York City, it was illegal for a teacher to get married, and then the union got rid of that. And then it was illegal for them to get pregnant if they were married. I mean, there were all kinds of arbitrary rules. So tenure was not about a job for life. Teachers can be fired. Actually, the biggest problem we have with teachers is not that they're not fired. The biggest teacher we have is turnover. And within the first 5 years of a teacher's being a teacher, 40 to 50% of them leave the profession.
So, David, let me throw that to you, David, as a follow-up question.
Sure.
Which, in your experience, being on the Englewood Board of Ed for 12 years, is a bigger problem with respect to keeping good teachers in front of the classrooms? Is it that too many bad teachers couldn't be let go, or was it that there was a bigger problem retaining the good young teachers who wouldn't stay in the profession? Which was a bigger problem in your experience?
Well, I think retaining – New Jersey has some of the highest starting salaries in the country, and Englewood is very competitive. Right now, they start a teacher out with no experience, zero experience right out of college at about 50 grand with great benefits. So given the recent economic times, I think people were flocking to education. Sure, there's a problem with keeping some teachers, but the problem is that there are too many teachers at the top of the pay scale that have tenure. And these teachers are hard to remove, and so most school districts in New Jersey don't even attempt to do it because it takes anywhere from a year and a half to 3 years and over $100,000 in tremendous legal time to do this.
So, David, I'm going to leave it there, and I really appreciate your comments. I'm going to get some other voices on now. Teresa in Newark, you're on WNYC. Hello, Teresa.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to comment because this is an issue that, you know, has been very hot in Newark. And I think that when it's all said and done, again, I feel that teachers have been beat up on. I'm a former teacher. I actually left after 2 years because I just felt that the respect level and the support level was just not enough to measure up to, A, what I had to put out and what I felt like I could really achieve.
And you're also a parent currently raising a child?
Yes. Yes, and I have two children, actually, that don't go to public school for part of the reason what we're saying. My children actually go to private school.
So what is it that you get from the private school that you don't think you could get from the publics?
I think that what you get is, I mean, because, you know, private school teachers make even less than public school teachers. But I think that a large part of it, like your guest is saying, is about the parent support. So to me, you can have the same teacher in a public school. You can have a whole school full of the same teachers that you have in a private school, but the level of parent engagement makes the difference to me because it means that students will behave a certain way. It means that students will have the resources they need to come to school to be their best, which makes the teacher's job easier. I used to teach in the Bronx in New York City. Mm-hmm. I started out making $29,000 a year. And I had absolutely no resources. I couldn't make copies for tests, for worksheets, anything. I had to do all of that out of my own money in New York City. So needless to say, most people didn't do any of those things. And I think that the crux of the issue is that tenure, yeah, it's a problem for some teachers. In my experience, most teachers really come to do the job, and they do a good job at it. There are some bad apples, and maybe some of them do end up in certain neighborhoods more than in others.
And so, Teresa, what do you think about the judge's framing of this as a civil rights issue? If the principals, if the school districts don't have the power to put the best teachers in front of the classrooms for low-income minority kids, then does that become a civil rights issue in your view, Teresa?
Oh, yes. I mean, I think that it does become a civil rights issue if all that is true, if that logic is true. I can't really say that I'm 100% sure that that's actually the case, because I have a lot of friends in Newark public schools mm-hmm. that are excellent teachers.
Mm-hmm. Teresa, so you
don't know if that logic is actually, you know, if that argument is true.
Teresa, thank you for your call. Hey, Diane Ravitch, I wonder if the judge opened a can of worms here by saying an education of equal quality is required to comply with civil rights laws, because tenure might go one way or another on that premise, but it makes me wonder what else might be appealable to the same judge on those grounds. How about the percentage of kids with high-speed internet access at home in different schools, the quality of the equipment in the science labs, the availability of robust art programs? How about funding of enrichment programs and even class size through PTA dues, which is a controversial perpetrator of inequality by affluence of neighborhoods? It seems to me if tenure can fall on quality equals civil rights grounds, a lot of other things could too.
Well, you know, I'm very glad that Teresa, the last caller, said she couldn't quite follow the logic of the decision, because the logic of the decision, and I've read the decision, simply isn't there. To say that all kids are entitled to great teachers, we can all agree with that. But by eliminating tenure, that doesn't mean that the schools will suddenly be flooded with great teachers. And my hunch is that because of his knocking down of any due process rights for teachers, the great teachers may flee the schools that are most in need of them because their jobs will be so insecure. I think if you're going to talk about education as a civil rights issue, it is a civil rights issue. But the way to frame it is in terms of resources. There should be equal access to resources. In fact, I would say that the kids who have the greatest needs should have greater resources. That's a civil rights issue. They should have not only great teachers, but the great the schools would attract the great teachers by having the conditions under which they can work and be effective. Most of our inner-city schools are ineffective because, again, quoting Teresa, she had to buy her own materials out of her own pocket. And I've heard this from many, many teachers, that they spend hundreds of dollars every year paying for materials that the schools don't supply. This would not happen in many of the private schools. They would make sure that the teachers were treated with respect, and that they got the support, the mentoring. All of these things are part of a great education.
Yeah.
So I think that children of color are being denied a quality education, but it's not because their teachers have the due process rights. It's because they don't have equal access to resources, and their schools are under-resourced, and they should have much smaller class sizes because their needs are greater.
Laurie in Bed-Stuy, you're on WNYC. Hello, Laurie.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. I just want to say, I do think, and my husband is an educator, so I find this, and I, as a parent, this issue is really personal for me, but I think that the judge did get it partly right, that tenure as a part of a broader system is in participating in ways that are violating the civil rights of Black and brown kids. And I think that to frame it in this recent conversation about the immediacy of resources is missing the point, because this issue is really an outgrowth of the systematic underfunding of Black schools and schools in Black and brown neighborhoods since the days of slavery. And it really has its roots in institutional racism. And I think that we have to redefine what it means when we say best teacher. Just because you are a great teacher on the Upper West Side and you are producing wonderful academic outcomes does not mean you are equipped to meet the specific needs of the children in East New York. And I think that it doesn't mean you're a bad teacher. It just means that you were not prepared for the needs that those kids have. And with regards to the resources, you know, in the days of pre-integration, we had black schools that had far inferior resources that were producing better academic outcomes. When the days of when you have integration happening and you have black children going into schools where the teachers were not prepared to integrate them properly into a school environment that up until that point had been taught that they were an inferior set of the community, when you create a space where all of those things are brought together and then you remove parent control from the schools, you're going to produce these types of educational outcomes. And it's not new. And what troubles me is that we frame this conversation as if this is something new in terms of Common Core and the new shifting framework, and it's not. This is another step in a very long-standing pattern in the underfunding and systematic demise of black and brown schools. And it's got its roots in, directly tied to institutional racism. And until we look at that and look at what it means to be a best teacher for those kids, we're missing the point. And you can throw resources all you want at schools that are meeting, that are trying to serve these populations, but if your teachers are not culturally competent and are not able to meet their specific needs, you're going to be missing it again.
Diane Ravitch, talk to Lurie.
Well, I don't disagree with Lily, but I think that I guess the only point I would disagree is when she says that resources don't matter unless. I think resources matter in every situation, and particularly in schools, whether it's East New York or Bed-Stuy or high-poverty areas of Los Angeles. Resources matter tremendously, and you will find a difference in terms of class size and in terms of the availability of the arts programs. These things matter a lot for kids, and I think they matter even more when kids are have huge needs that are not being met by the schools.
But they have to be in the hands of the right instructor, because laptops, iPads, and books for days mean nothing if the teacher in front of the room is not culturally competent. I can have the access to the most wonderful surgical tools on the planet, but if I have not been trained in the type of surgery that I need to perform with these tools, it matters me not, and it's not going to do my patient any good because I'm not prepared to meet that patient.
So, Lurie, do you think that the education of the children from your neighborhood, Bedford-Stuyvesant, in the public schools, would be better in general if we had the same ruling in New York, if a judge threw out teacher tenure?
I think the judge opened the door, but he only got it partly right, because focusing on tenure isn't going to shift, and this is where I agree with your guest, focusing on tenure alone, that's not going to shift the balance of what's happening in the school. But looking at tenure as part of a broader system where ill-prepared educators are put in front of classrooms where they were prepared to teach kids in their educational programs who have names like Tom and Jane, but they're confronted with children who have the needs of kids in my neighborhood, tenure is only part of the issue, and it's a small part, but at least by ruling in this way, I feel like he's opened the door for us to begin mm-hmm. having these types of conversations as to the way these institutional structures bar access for our children.
Lurie, thank you very much. As we have a few minutes left with Diane Ravitch and your calls, talking about this court ruling, which could be groundbreaking in California, in which a judge threw out the state's teacher tenure system as violating the civil rights of low-income black and Latino kids, because it winds up sorting the worst teachers to the most high-poverty schools, and then they can't be fired. George in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, George.
Hi, how are you?
Okay. What do you think? What's your relationship to this issue?
Manyfold. I am a Latino father. My kids do go to public school in Brooklyn. We have a lot of great parent involvement. I couldn't disagree more with the judge and the ruling. It's scapegoating teachers and unions. I think it's an amazing case, and it is going to bring, it's going to open up a can of worms, yes. But I can't believe that once again we are, it's like smoke and mirrors. The problem in the classroom today in public education is not about tenure and the teachers. It's not. It's something that needs to be looked at and revised. Yes, there are people, some, who maybe shouldn't be given permission to teach a classroom. But that is not the issue here. The public classroom today in New York City and in places like Los Angeles, California, it's a different classroom than it was 50 years ago. How teachers are prepared is something we need to review and look at. But tenure is not the issue. It is a major, major problem that this court and this judge ruled that way. And if you want to go back historically, it's even prior to Brown versus Board of Ed, Mendez versus Westminster, when Mexican-American kids were not allowed to go to public school. I mean, these issues go way, way back. There's a history here. To say that it's about the tenure, that is completely wrong. The issue and the reality is real. Why are teachers going? What's going on in the low-performing schools? And I disagree vehemently with this idea of desirable and undesirable places. I mean, we have to change this paradigm, and it's where we talk about education in this country, to understand that teachers are disrespected. They don't have the proper resources. And tenure is there for many reasons Diane Ravitch already expressed. So it's very important that we have that and that we give teachers that support and those resources. They need it.
George, let me ask you a question about the new teacher's contract with the de Blasio administration. If I have this detail right, it offers cash incentives for teaching at high-poverty schools. How much do you think that does to attract quality teachers to classrooms that are usually seen, whether we like that or not, as having desirable working conditions?
I understand why the mayor thinks that's going to be an incentive. I understand, given the current economic climate, why that might be attractive to people who are not really so versed in this whole this area. I don't think it's the right way to go. I don't think you should get cash rewards for being a good teacher. I don't believe in that. But I do think we have to find a way to get people into these other schools that are low-performing. But they're low-performing not solely because of the teachers. It's many, many factors, and we're not hitting it. Common Core standards, standardized testing, the amount of money that goes into testing that should be going into the classroom, the changing classroom, you know, special needs students and how the ELL students and mainstream students. I mean, there's so many factors, and the contemporary teacher in public school is expected to be a magician. They're supposed to deal with social problems. They're supposed to be a psychiatrist. I mean, it's unbelievable what they're facing.
So, and the judge makes it seem as if tenure is like the big foundational issue to inequality in the schools, since he didn't address anything else. And he didn't. And George, thank you. Diane Ravitch, we just have a couple of minutes. He didn't address. I didn't read the whole decision. I read part of it, but I didn't see him address this probably bigger problem, judging by the numbers, as you brought up, of good young teachers who quit the profession after just a few years. I tend to think keeping good teachers is statistically a much bigger problem than getting rid of the relatively few bad apples. Did he even address it?
No, he didn't address it. It's a very short opinion. This is a judge who was appointed by Governor Pete Wilson. He's very conservative, and the people who are behind it are very, very, very rich magnets, you know, Silicon Valley types, who think that there's a simple solution. And there is no simple solution. I mean, the fact is that if you look at the highest performing states and the highest performing districts, they do have tenured teachers. If you look at the lowest performing states and the lowest performing districts, they're probably going to be in the deep south where there is no tenure.
Huh.
So tenure is irrelevant. And what he did not address is the gross inequities that really do hurt kids, and I think this whole case is a red herring that was cooked up by people who wanted a red herring.
So last thing, the Times today says this ruling will fuel similar lawsuits in other states, including likely New York and Connecticut. It didn't mention New Jersey. But here in New York, as you know, we just had this years-long battle over teacher evaluations and removal, and it's now easier than it was to remove teachers given failing performance reviews. So do you think New York is any less vulnerable to a lawsuit like this than California was, just in legal terms?
I think every state that has tenure is vulnerable to a lawsuit like this. You have to bear in mind that the people who are funding these lawsuits have almost unlimited resources. These are the hedge fund managers. This is Wall Street. These are the guys who are the Silicon Valley millionaires and billionaires. They want to get rid of teacher tenure. They want to get rid of teacher pensions. I mean, there's an attack on teachers on every front. And you really have to stand back and say, is this going to make American education better? If we continue to attack teachers, will we see fewer people even wanting to be teachers? I mean, the way you build a great school system, we can learn from places like Finland, is through respect, through recruiting, high-quality people at the very outset, and then giving them support, making them better at their job. I mean, the fact that somebody's going to accept a bonus to go to a high-poverty school doesn't mean you're getting the best teachers. You're getting the teachers who want more money. Nothing wrong with wanting more money, but we just have it all backwards. We're using carrots and sticks where we should be supporting the development of a strong teacher profession that's respected by the community. And this lawsuit undermines respect for teaching, and it cannot be good.
Diane Ravitch, research professor of education at NYU, former assistant U.S. education secretary under the first President Bush, author of a very active blog that she keeps at dianeravitch.net, and author of books including Reign of Error, The Hoax of the Privatization Movement, and The Danger to America's Public Schools. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, can the Pope bring peace to Israelis and Palestinians? Stay with us.